King, let it rise. Come on and let it rise. Oh, well, let it rise. Say, let the Spirit of the Lord, let the Spirit, oh, let it rise. Well, let the Spirit of the Lord, let it rise. Well, let the praises of our King, let it rise. Come on and let it rise.
To me, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is good.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
We've come rejoicing, thanking God for this another beautiful Lord's Day. Hope you realize just how good God is. I want to thank those that have gone before me. Appreciate our song leader, Brother Jameson Rose, and for the dynamic way in which he has led us in our singing. We're appreciative to Deacon Quasi Webb for the announcements. Also, Deacon Johnny Allen for the prayer. And we're appreciative to our young brother, Brian Collins. Certainly, these men of the congregation are an asset, and we are thankful for them. I want to take the time to, if you're visiting, I have no visitor's cards, but if you are visiting with us, to welcome you. Okay, we do have a visitor. Hugh Williams, and this is Willie Franklin's grandson. Stand up. All right, there he is. We want you to know that we appreciate you being here today. We have a little gift coming your way. We want to encourage you to come back and be with us at any time. Okay. Are there any visitors who are to my left at this time? If so, please stand. Tell us who you are and where you're from. Do we have any visitors to my left? Any others? Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you. All right, good. He's responsive. I like that. I like that. Okay, I do have one or two things before we share the Word of God with you this morning. I want to remind the congregation, you did probably hear in the announcements, we're certainly saddened at the passing of our longtime member, Brother Donald Davis, and our sympathy goes out to the Davis family. Chances are the funeral will be on Saturday. We had hoped for it to be on Friday, but there's some family members, I guess, who need to get in town. And so we will be meeting with the family. Final word will be coming out to you and will be mentioned. So just keep the family in prayers, if you would. And again, we rejoice over Malik baptized into Christ. And I don't know if you guys shook hands with him last Sunday, did you? Okay, everybody shook hands. Well, give him a big old hug this Sunday then, but that's good. He's been hearing God's word for a long time, and we're certainly very happy that he decided to put Christ on in baptism. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 35 through 37 and then share the word of God with you. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Most of us understand that this is Super Sunday. I call it Super Sunday because it's the best day of the week for Christians. Amen? So really for me, every Sunday is Super Sunday. Right, guys? Amen. But for everyone else, it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? If you've been watching television, if you've been paying any attention at all, you know that there are two teams who are going to face each other on a football field, and it will determine who is the best team for 2016. I've heard an Atlanta Falcon teammate say something, kind of stuck with me. He says, "We didn't come to Houston to lose." And that kind of stuck with me. I think that it's a great attitude to have. As a matter of fact, we need an attitude like that when it comes to our spiritual lives. We should have the same desire to win. Hey, I didn't come this far to lose anything. I haven't been coming to church every Sunday to end up with Satan and the rest of his crew. We ought to have a little fight in us. Isn't that right, church? Amen, amen. So the message this morning is, are you ready to win? Are you ready to win? We should have a winning attitude because I believe the Bible is very clear as we read these scriptures. The Bible says God is for us. Verse number 31. God is for us. You know, teams have cheerleaders because they want somebody on the sidelines who's cheering for them. We want somebody to be for us. Many times we will have people say, whose side are you on? Why are you taking their side? Because they want you to be for them. God is for us. And let me tell you something, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, from time to time, the POTUS, the President of the United States, chimes in when it comes to football. And he, and I'm not talking about president, any president, all of them have said from time to time, well, I think this one's going to win. But you know something? Just because the president said you was going to win doesn't mean you're going to win. It's good to have somebody like that who's cheering for you, but guess what? They are not as important as God. If God is for us, who can be against us, Scripture says. You know, the odd makers have made their choice. They say, I believe, that the Patriots are going to win by 3 points. Now, I'm not trying to start a fight or anything this morning. But I just said that to say, I know one thing, and this is free. I know the one thing is this, whoever wants to win the most, and whoever has prepared will win. Whoever is prepared and whoever has the desire and whoever has the motivation will be the person who will win. Let me pause for station identification. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, I know you are reminded of how the Bible talks about that there was a wedding feast and there were 10 virgins who were waiting to be summoned to go with the bridegroom. And the bridegroom tarried a while, wasn't getting there on time like some of us. Anyway, he tarried a while, and because he was running late, they were sitting there with their lamps. They fell asleep. And then there was a big announcement, hey, the bridegroom is coming. See, they used to make a big to-do about stuff. You know, they would say, hey, he's coming. Then they would come back, he's a little bit ways away and so forth, you know, kind of get the excitement going. But they all jumped up at that point, and some of them, their lamps had gone out. And when their lamps had gone out, only the five who were wise, or the Bible says prudent, had brought some extra oil. Isn't that something? Haven't we got caught sometimes when we just weren't prepared? When we just didn't plan enough? when we just didn't do enough. And then life will go on around, behind you, and without you. Amen? Am I talking to anybody? If you are unprepared, life says, I don't care that you are unprepared. You don't have no oil? Well, that's too bad. And so there were five who were saying, hey, we got to run and go buy some. Hey, you know that? Hey, give me some of yours. But guess what? They said, we only got enough for ourselves. I can't give you none, honey. So, you know, sometimes if you haven't prepared, you're going to be in trouble. That's in a spiritual sense, and that's on the football field too. Amen. That was free. It does not matter who mounts an attack against us. Did you hear what the scripture is saying? For if God is for us, who can be against us? When God is for us, we don't have to worry about that this is a formidable opponent. We don't have to worry about, hey, this is the biggest mess that I've ever been in. We don't have to worry about, I am so stressed out. I have never seen nothing like this, you know? We get that way sometimes, don't we? We get in a tizzy. God told his people something that we need to remember. In Isaiah 54 and verse number 17, there the word of God says, as he spoke to Israel, he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. He says, no weapon that is formed, no attack, no tool, whatever it is, cyber attack, whatever it is, no weapon that is formed against you, lying girlfriend, no weapon that is formed against you, the boss don't like you and he fired you, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Says in the day of judgment, folks will try to put you down there. He says, but you will condemn them. Why? Because God has your back. God is for us. Who can be against us? Don't forget also, in 1 John chapter 4, and verse number 4, we need to remember that we belong to God. Now, I'm talking about folks who are children of God. That's why, Malika, it was so important that you put Christ on in baptism. Best decision, best thing you could ever do. Better than getting a college degree. Better than being an engineer. Better than being a doctor. Better than being a lawyer. The best thing you can do. You got number one going on when you put Christ on. When you're God's, Paul reminds them, he says, you are from, or John, he says, you are from God, little children. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When you're in Christ Jesus, you got something in you. When you're in Christ Jesus, you've got God in you. When you're in Christ Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you're in Christ Jesus, you have the Word of God in you. When you're in Christ Jesus, you got something that will carry you through. You have someone that is better than any weapon, force that can come against you. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let me share a little something with you. We should have a winning attitude because God will help us to endure the difficulties of life. Am I talking to anybody? I don't care who you are. There are some difficulties in this thing called life that's going to come your way. And it's going to come from all kinds of angles. It's going to come when you are at the top of your game and you think you got it all together. It's going to come when you first get married. It's going to come when you've been married for 50 years. It's going to come when you got some children. It's going to come before you have some children. It's going to come when you got a job. It's going to come when you don't have a job. It's going to come when you got the big house. It's going to come when you're living in a shack. There are some difficulties in life that's going to come your way. But we need to understand a few things. That these difficulties will challenge us. That these difficulties will attempt to beat us down. But as children of God, we need to remember a few things. First of all, I want to give you an example from the Apostle Paul. He was a Christian. I want to give you that example because he was a Christian. And I want to give it to you because no one or no Christian that I know experienced more difficulties than Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, notice what he says. He says, he was in far more labors. He was in far more imprisonments. He was beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 3 times, he says, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. See, you get stoned with rocks, that'll kill you. You can't have that too often. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. He says, I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardships, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And Paul says, and oh, by the way, the next scripture, not only that, I've had the weight of all the churches on my back, or on my mind. You know, talk to Brother McGee and the rest of the elders. Just one church on your mind is enough, amen. Paul had all the churches that he was trying to encourage, writing to, and dealing with various situations. But he says, all of these things, I've been beaten, I've been stoned. I've been in danger of rivers, I've been in dangers of sea, I've been in dangers on land, I've been in dangers everywhere, all around me. Even among my brethren, I was in danger because some of them were false brethren. They were coming up to me and acting like they liked me, but they really didn't. And we don't know nothing about that, do we? Paul says, I have been through some stuff. I have been through some difficulties. I missed some meals. I've been run out of town. I've been let down in a basket on the side of the wall in order to save my life. Does that sound like a lot of fun? We get stressed out, you know, when the landlords come knocking on the door. Hey, you ain't paid that rent in a while. We get stressed out when the car breaks down. We get stressed out when the kids start acting up. We get stressed out when the money just don't cover the bills. We get stressed out over stuff, but guess what? Paul, as a Christian, went through more labors and difficulties. And you know something? Paul could have chosen to sit down. He could have chosen not to go on any ship and therefore experience a shipwreck. 3 times he was in a shipwreck. He could have chosen to stay in his apartment in Antioch, in his high rise, his loft, or whatever. He could have chosen to stay. But Paul did all of this for Jesus Christ. Now, we running around with our heads like it's cut off. And we don't know what to do. And it's all our stuff. Got nothing to do with God. Got nothing to do with Jesus. Got nothing to do with the gospel. We can't be comfortable staying where we are. If we make the decision not to do anything for God, at least we ought to be comfortable. Amen. Paul made the decision that I'm going to be stressed out. I'm going to be run out of town. I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to be all of these things because he was serving God. And we can't even handle our own little stuff. But I came with a good message, remember. We should have a winning attitude. I showed you Paul. If God can bring Paul through it, and he did. I mean, this is serious business, the things that he went through. When people have looked at you and said, you're going to be dead because I'm going to make sure you die. Okay? When people have come after you in all kinds of ways, when you have, as I said, your ownership and the ship sinks and tears apart because God wants to get you to Rome. We're on cruises, and the cruises go pretty smooth. My wife and I was on a cruise once, and I was praying, hey, Lord, let the waters be cool. Yeah, you know, and it was smooth as silk, and I thank God for that. I said, God, I won't trouble you no more. You did it once. I'm not going to trouble you anymore. But many times we are on these cruises and things, and, you know, we're just enjoying ourselves. Paul, the ship sunk. He's fighting for his life. And it's all for the gospel and the glory of God. He went through many things, but God brought him through it. We should look at him and say, if God will do that for Paul, God will do it for me. Amen? Amen. Say, God will do it for me. Yes, he will. You may be experiencing some difficulties right now. I don't know what they are. Maybe financial problems. It may be health issues. It might be relationships with family members and friends. It might be even be loneliness. It might be feelings of helplessness, despair, depression, or rejection. But no one thing. If God was able to bring the Apostle Paul through all the things that he experienced, God is there for us and he'll bring us through them too. God can take your worst day and turn it into a great day. God can take all of your lemons and make more than lemonade. He can open up a lemon store for you. God can do all of those things. We just need to trust in him. There's hope for our victory. Yeah, we can be a winner. And that's the good thing, to know that as children of God, we can be a winner. Oh, I know I'm messed up today. I know I don't have a ride. I know I'm catching the bus. I know I got all kind of crazy stuff going on in my life, but I can get it together through Christ Jesus. We can have the victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we're reminded that, you know, there's no temptation that bothering us that's not common to mankind. But we need to remember something, that along with that temptation, God always provides a way of escape so that we're able to bear it or able to live through it. God is able to take us through whatever it is that we're going through. And it's a couple of things that comes to mind in that scriptures. One, what you are going through is not anything that somebody else hasn't already gone through or isn't going through the same thing right now. I know you got a teenager that's not paying you any attention, can't get them to do anything. Somebody else got that same teenager. You can swap. You guys can swap, and you'll have the same issue. Why? Because it's nothing new. You know, we're not the only ones. Money problems. That's why I tell young folks when they got money problems, because I've been down that road and I understand. You might as well relax. You might as well relax and you might as well take it easy, because as I've said once before, I'm almost 70 and I still got some bills. Bills will always be around, folks. But we've got to learn how to relax and to let God direct our steps. Romans also says something as it speaks to this issue. And I've heard some folks say, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. I'm not going to say that, but I will say this. It will make us stronger, the things that we go through, the trials that we face, the tribulations, the things that we have to deal with, the people we have to deal with, the children that won't listen to us, and all of those things. It will make us stronger if we stay with God, if we keep on doing what we know is right to do. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, the Word of God says these things to us, and I want to share them with you. It says, and not only this, we are also exalted in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, it says, brings proven character. Perseverance is endurance. So when you're going through something, and the whole key to that is to learn some endurance, to learn how to be able to take something. One thing about this generation that I was from and the generation now is that we had to take a whole bunch of stuff. Our parents pushed us around. Our parents smacked us in the mouth if we didn't say what we were supposed to say or do what we were supposed to do. We had to endure some stuff. It was a generation where we believed in, I'll spend 20 years saving up before I take a big old vacation. I'll spend 20 years before I go and get this big old house. Guess what? This new generation says, I ain't going to spend 20 years. I'm getting that right now. I'm getting that right now. There's something to be said about endurance, the ability to live through some stuff. When you're able to go through some things, it will make you stronger. Again, the scripture says, perseverance provides proven character. Proven character gives you hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It all comes back to God. When you've had to spend a few sleepless nights, you're going to do something, you might as well talk to God. When you've had to cry a few tears, you might as well cry to God. When you've had to throw your hands up in despair, you might as well tell God how disgusted you are. Oh, you see, when we come through some of this stuff, it brings us closer and it makes us stronger. Anytime you get nearer and anytime you get closer, anytime you get with God, you're going to be a stronger person than without God. Because remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? Yep, God will help us to endure the difficulties. I want to ask you right now, are you ready to win?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to win? Oh, yeah. We should have a winning attitude because God has guaranteed the outcome. Now, this is a good one. God has guaranteed the outcome. In verse number 37, let us notice what the Bible says. But in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. What that means is, not only are you going to win by a few points, you're going to have a blowout. You're going to more than win. It's going to be a victory. You're going to conquer. It's overwhelming. It's going to be far better than you ever thought it could be. Let me tell you something. Most of us are hoping that it's not going to be a blowout for the Super Bowl because it makes it interesting and all of that. But I got news for you. The team that's having the blowout
is having a lot of fun. Amen. And that's the way it is with God. We're going to be the ones on the winning team. And even though it's a blowout, even though it's a slam dunk on Satan, even though we are overcoming, overwhelmingly winning, we are going to be having a good time in the Lord. It's going to be a good time in the Lord. Amen. Oh, yeah, I know Satan, he's going to be trying to get us down and out for the count. But God says you will overwhelmingly conquer through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Do you want to win? Do you want to win? God has guaranteed it. I'm not sure who will win the big game tonight. It may be a tough struggle. It could be one that goes down to just a few seconds, and there have been some games like that. But one team will emerge as a victor. But guess what? Those who strive in Christ Jesus gain the victory. In verses number 38 and 39, it's made real clear. Paul brings it home. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul says, can't nothing else. There's nothing else. There's nothing that you can think of. There's nothing that's ever been hatched up that can keep you from the love of God, from the power of God, that can separate us from God. Nothing else. And guess what? This is all about God. It has nothing to do with us. All we have to do is just hook ourselves up, hitch ourselves up to where the power is. Join ourselves to where the victory is. You know, as some folks who will sit on the bench all day, but they'll get a paycheck, and they will be part of the winning team. It's a wonderful thing to be in Christ Jesus. Some of us might not be able to do a whole lot, but if you just stay with Jesus Christ, you might not be able to get out and knock on a door. You might not be able to preach a sermon. You might not be able to lead the congregation in singing. But you just keep on coming to God. You just keep on studying God's word. You just keep on coming to worship. And you just do what you can do. And you will be victorious in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 John 5 and 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Keep your faith in God. I know in these times folks are dropping off. I know in these times folks are backing up. I know in these times people are not coming to church. I know in these times people are not wanting to talk about Christ. I know in these times people are not wanting to do what the Word of God says. But if you want to be victorious, because there's coming a day, there's coming a time when you're going to have to stand before God, and you will then gain the victory, you'll then gain the crown, or you're going to be condemned. Amen. Amen, so you just need to, all of us, keep on holding on to God. In order to overcome, we have to keep on doing God's will. Those who overcome will, according to Revelation 2:7, eat at the tree of life. According to Revelation 2:11, not be hurt by the second death. According to Revelation 2 and verse 17, have a chance to dine on hidden manna, receive a stone and a new name written on it. In Revelation 2 and 26, those who overcome have authority over the nations and the morning star. God has some stuff for us. those who overcome, those who continue in the faith, those who want to be winners, those who want to have victory in their lives here and in the future to come. Let me tell you something. There's nothing any greater than winning. I agree with that person who said, I didn't come to Houston to lose. Why are you sitting up in church? I hope you didn't come. You're not in Christ to end up going to hell. Hope you're not going through the motions of saying you love God and then to be pushed away by God. Folks, we've got to play. We've got to strive. We've got to live the Christian life in such a way that says, I want to win. Are you ready to win? If you're ready to win this morning, you have to get into Christ. You have to do just like Malik did. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to come repenting of your sins, realizing that you've been going in the wrong direction, and now you want to turn it around and go right. You've got to come confessing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of Lords, the only potentate, the mediator, the only one between man and God. You've got to come believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he is the Messiah, that he did die on the cross, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day. And now he's sitting at the right hand of God with all power, with all authority in his hand. He's reigning until he turns everything back over to the Father, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You've got to come believing in that. Repenting of your sins, confessing Christ before men, being buried with him in baptism. Baptism washes away your sins, Acts 22, verse number 16. Baptism does also now save us, according to 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is what Peter said that the folks had to do on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse number 38. Repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, today is a beautiful day. It's a super Sunday. Every Sunday is a super Sunday in the Lord. It's a beautiful day to put Christ on in baptism. It's a beautiful day to make the decision, I've been going in the wrong direction, but I'm going to turn it around. And now I'm going to start to live for Christ. As a child of God, it's a good day to acknowledge that, you know, Lord, I haven't really given you all the glory. I haven't given you your due. I haven't treated you right. I'm supposed to be married to you, but I've been cutting out on you. I'm supposed to be married to you, but you know something? I've left you alone when I should have been there with you. Oh, it's a lot of things we haven't done right. Amen? But today is Super Sunday. Today is a chance to get it right. Today is a chance to begin. And from this Sunday on, as I said, every Sunday is super when you're in Christ Jesus, when you're a child of God. Are you ready to win? If you're here and you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender all.
Will you come this morning?
To him I freely give.
God is talking to
will
you.
Will ever.
Someone needs to come this morning.
And trust him in his presence daily live.
It's not too late
will
to come.
I surrender.
Why not surrender all?
Surrender all. Will I surrender? I surrender.
Will you come this morning?
Will all to thee, my blessed Savior, I Surrender all.
One more call.
Will and
if this was your very last day, would you come?
To Jesus.
I want to encourage you. Why don't you come? If you're saying, I'm going to come one day, why don't you come today? If you're saying, one day I'm going to give my life to Christ, why not now? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus right now?
Pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me. Oh, will I surrender? I surrender. Oh, will I surrender all, surrender all and all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Will, don't you know I surrender? I surrender all. Will, I surrender? I surrender all and all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen, amen. You've been an outstanding audience as you listen to God's word this morning. My prayer is that you've been encouraged and uplifted and edified. And may God continue to bless you and keep you. And remember, are you ready to win? Amen.